भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय.
We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47. The Song of the Bee, Text 67. Karma bhi,
karma bhi,
brahmyamananam,
brahmyamananam,
yatra kvapi,
yatra kvapi,
Ishvara,
Ishvara,
Ichaya,
Ichaya,
Mangala,
Mangala,
Acharitai,
Acharitai,
Danai,
Danai,
Rati,
Rati,
Na,
Na,
Krishne,
Krishne,
Ishware,
Ishware,
Karma bir brav Yamananam, Yatra kvapi shvare chaya,
Yatra kvapi shvare chaya,
Mangala charitaya danai,
Mangala charitaya danai,
Ratirna Krishna ishvare,
Ratirna Krishna ishvare,
Karma bir brahmyamananam,
Karma bir brahmyamananam,
Yatra kvapi shvare chaya,
Yatra kvapi shvare chaya,
Mangala charitaya danai,
Mangala charitaya danai,
Ratirna Krishna ishvare,
Ratirna Krishna ishvare,
Karma bir brahmyamananam,
Karma bir brahmyamananam,
Yatra kvapi shvare chaya,
Yatra kvapi shvare chaya,
Mangala charitaya danai,
Mangala charitaya danai,
Ratirna Krishna ishvare,
Ratirna Krishna ishvare,
Karma bhi,
karma bhi,
by our fruitive actions, brahmyamananam,
brahmyamananam,
who are made to wander,
who are made to wander,
yatra kvapi,
yatra kvapi,
wherever, Ishvara,
Ishvara,
of the Supreme Lord,
of the Supreme Lord,
Ichaya,
Ichaya,
by the desire,
by the desire,
Mangala,
Mangala,
auspicious,
auspicious,
Acharitai,
Acharitai,
because of works,
because of works,
Danai,
Danai,
because of charity,
because of charity,
Rati,
Rati,
attachment,
attachment,
Na,
Na,
our,
our,
Krishne,
Krishne,
for Krishna,
for Krishna,
Ishvare,
Ishvare,
the Lord.
The Lord.
Translation. Wherever we are made to wander about this world by the Supreme Lord's will, in accordance with the reactions to our fruitive work, May our good works and charity always grant us love for Lord Krishna. Please repeat. Wherever we are made to wander,
about this world,
by the Supreme Lord's will, in accordance with the reactions to our fruitive work,
May our good works and charity
always grant us love for Lord Krishna.
Always grant us love for Lord Krishna.
The present verse is read along with yesterday's verse. The two verses describe what Nanda and the other cowherds said to Uddhava as he was about to leave Vrindavan to return to Mathura. Again, this verse is in the mood of a surrendered servant of the Lord and is quite appropriate as a prayer for aspiring devotees like ourselves. And as we discussed yesterday, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherds were on the highest level of pure love for Krishna. And their prayers were spoken in a mood of humility, which was brought forth by their feelings of separation from Krishna. Feelings of separation are an important theme, especially in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. And the basis of the mood of separation is humility. One feels that one is separated from Krishna because of one's lack of qualification or lack of love for Krishna. And in that mood, I mean, it's always there in a general sense, humility, but specifically in the mood of separation, one feels that one has no qualifications, and therefore one is not fit to be with Krishna. And in the extreme of the feelings of separation, the devotee feels that he or she has absolutely no love for Krishna. Otherwise, they would have died. If they had any genuine love for Krishna, how could they even remain alive without him? So these are exalted feelings. But Srila Prabhupada, throughout his books and lectures, have advised us to try to enter into the mood of separation, cultivate feelings of separation from Krishna. These feelings, in a way, are the opposite of the mood of sahajiyas, who take things very cheaply. Srila Prabhupada has defined the word sahajiya as one who takes things very cheaply. So they take it as a very cheap thing, that, oh, I saw Krishna, I saw Radha dancing with Krishna. And along with that, cheapness is a sense of pride in their own selves, which is the complete opposite of the actual mood of bhakti. Now, earlier in the 10th canto, you probably know that Srila Prabhupada himself translated only through the 13th chapter before he left this world, and thereafter his disciples continued the translation, especially Gopi Puranadana Prabhu and Hridayananda Das Goswami. And earlier in the 10th canto, they mentioned that it, because they were quoting from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, which is very deep and beautiful. And they mentioned that it would be nice if in the future some devotee translated his entire commentary. And it so happened that His Holiness Bhanu Swami did translate it. And I thought to read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse, or these two verses, to give you an idea of the deeper explanation of the moods of the residents of Vrindavan. And in this case, of course, their exchange with Uddhava. So read the translation again. Wherever we are made to wander about this world by the Supreme Lord's will, in accordance with the reactions to our fruitive work, may our good works and charity always grant us love for Lord Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Nanda Maharaj said, "Our dear long-lived Uddhava, we, Krishna's mother and father, have been most hard-hearted toward our son, even though he is a great ocean of beauty, good qualities, and character. And we remain so even now. We understand that the abundant affection and care we previously showed Krishna now appear to have been artificial, since even in his absence we remain alive." So they're saying they thought that they had affection for Krishna, but now in his absence, they're thinking that their so-called affection was just external. That actually they are very hard-hearted parents. Although Krishna is the reservoir of all good qualities, they are actually very hard-hearted towards him. Otherwise, how could they remain alive in his absence? Then Vishnu Chakravarti continues to explain their thinking. King Dasarath was actually the only real father in this world because he immediately died upon hearing that his son Rama had gone away. We, on the other hand, do not have even a trace of love for our son Krishna. Therefore, this omniscient son of ours has rejected us as unqualified parents. Being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has used his inconceivable ingenuity to make Devaki and Vasudeva his parents instead. Therefore, Yashoda and I should be completely condemned as the most unfortunate persons in the three worlds. Nevertheless, perhaps in some future lifetime we may become aware of Krishna as he is and become attracted to him. So, in this exalted state of love for Krishna, Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan show qualities that even we, in our stage, should aspire to and try to develop. The development of Krishna consciousness is hierarchical in the sense that whatever qualities exist on a lower stage continue in the higher stage. It's not that they disappear. For example, at our stage, in which we're just trying to develop faith in Krishna and surrender to Krishna, we try to do just what I said, have faith in him and surrender to him. And when we do have faith in Krishna and surrender to him, then we can proceed in devotional service. And there are different stages that Srila Rupa Goswami has mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ado Shraddha, first is faith, Tata Sadhu Sangha, associating with devotees, Bhajana Kriya, engaging in devotional service. There's so many, then Nishta, steadiness, Ruchi, taste, Asakti, attachment, and so on. So as one progresses, all of those continue. It's not that, oh, now I'm advanced, so I'm not surrendered anymore. Surrender was for a lower stage. But advancement means that our surrender deepens. And the most surrendered are Krishna's personal associates, especially his associates in Vrindavan. So those moods in the most exalted devotees pertain to us at our stage. But there's also that other perspective, that it's being manifest in the most extreme condition of ecstatic love for Krishna and separation. But he is appreciating that he and Yashoda are not really qualified because of their heart, so-called hard-hearted natures. And therefore, Krishna arranged for more qualified people, Vasudeva and Devaki, to become his parents. Now, in this material world of lust and greed and envy, the tendency is to think that why is someone else in that position? I'm more qualified. I should have been in that position. But Nanda Maharaj is showing the humble mood that yes, it was Krishna's ingenious arrangement that he made Vasudeva and Devaki his parents, because they're really qualified. We're not. In this way, Nanda Maharaj prays in two verses, texts 66 and 67. Nanda Maharaj's statement, "May our minds take shelter of Krishna's feet," is a reversal due to great love that we discussed yesterday. Manaso vritteo nasyu Krishna padam bhujashraya. Actually, the mind and senses of Nanda and Yashoda were always absorbed in Krishna. But they prayed in this way. This indicates the extreme predominance of the Sanchari Bhav of Dainya, or humility, within them. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami explains the science of Bhakti Yoga through different stages. And in Srila Prabhupada's translations and purports, he has taken the same principles and presented them in simple language. But these principles are explained in the Nectar of Devotion and also in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they form the framework, you could say the philosophical framework for the explanations of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas in the line. So according to this science, after the stage of sadhana bhakti comes the stage of bhava bhakti, also known as rati. And there are five categories of bhavas. Sthayi bhava, sort of like one's basic relationship with Krishna, and four others. And when those five combine, that produces rasa. And the Sanchari bhavas are compared to waves in an ocean. They rise up and fall back into the ocean of the devotees'
prema, or basic relationship with Krishna. So these different moods rise up and fall back into the ocean of the devotee's sthayi bhava, or permanent mood of loving Krishna. So in these verses, the sanchari bhava of dānya, or humility, is prominent. Moreover, it is the nature of those who possess Krishna prema in the friendly sakya, parental vatsalya, or conjugal moods, madhurya, to become indifferent to themselves as repositories, ashraya alambana, of love for one's object, vishaya alambana. So these are all technical words, and they are there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Once Srila Prabhupada took went on a sort of writing retreat in Hawaii, and Harisori Prabhu was his secretary, a servant. And every night, you know, Harisori would look at Prabhupada's dictaphone, which had digits that indicated how far along the tape was. And then in the morning, he would see how many digits had passed, how much Srila Prabhupada had translated. So one morning when Harisori came, he saw that quite a few digits had passed, more than usual. So he was very happy that Srila Prabhupada did a lot of translation. And he commented to Srila Prabhupada, "Oh, you did so many numbers of translation." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Oh, I can translate very quickly, very easily. But it takes time to try to present the concepts in such a way that you can understand them. So that was Srila Prabhupada's compassion, that was Srila Prabhupada's brilliance, that he could do that. I reread this section in the Krishna book, and the language is so simple and it's so sweet. So the mood is there and the ideas are there, but not the technical language. But as we progress, it is good to learn more if one has that inclination. It is good to learn more and see things in that philosophical framework. So he explains that it is the nature of those who possess Krishna prema in those moods, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya, to see that they have no love for Krishna, basically. Due to the extreme hopelessness, they feel in separation from Krishna. Hence, in their excessive humility, they
forget their own proper moods and instead take up the mood of servitude. Dasya bhav. So as their natural mood is as parents of Krishna, but in the mood of extreme such separation, they are expressing that mood of a servitorship, which is included in Vatsalya Bhav, but is not prominent. But here it's prominent because of their feelings of separation. An example of the mood of Sakya turning into the mood of Dasya is as follows. And those of you who've read Srimad Bhagavatam will recognize this. When Balaram, near the end of the Brahma Vimohana Lila, the pastime where Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves from Krishna and was bewildered by Krishna's mystic potency. When Balaram, near the end of the Brahma Vimohana Lila, thought that this Krishna, being aloof, is not even confiding in us now. But Krishna didn't tell even Balaram what was going on, that he had expanded himself, the whole thing. He didn't tell Balaram. So that made Balaram feel separation. Separation is not necessarily physical. It can also be, you could say, like emotional. So he was feeling separation from Krishna. They were brothers and the best of friends, but Krishna was not even confiding in him, so he's feeling separation. So in that mood of separation, he said, Prayo mayastu me bartur. This must be the maya of my Lord. This must be an exhibition of the potency of my Lord. So in that mood of separation, he's regarding Krishna not as his younger brother, but as his Lord. An example of that's Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.37. An example of Dasya Bhav in Madhurya Ras is as follows. Radha said, Ha Natha Ramana Preshta Dasyaste Kripanayame. O Master, O Enjoyer, bring this wretched maid servant to you. Although she's usually in the left-wing mood of challenging Krishna, but in the mood of separation from Krishna, she enters the mood of servitorship and prays to Krishna, please bring this maid servant to you. And a gopi said, this comes actually in this chapter earlier, and a gopi said, Kwachid api sakata nakinkara karinam. Does Krishna ever talk about us, his maid servants? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.21. The present verse gives us an example of Dasya Bhav in Vatsalya Ras. The cowherds headed by Nanda Maharaj said, Manaso vrittayo nasyu Krishna padam bhujashraya. May our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. However, although they spoke like this, even in a state of ecstasy, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda would never give up their parental relationship with Krishna. This is a very important point about the distinction between the love of Nanda Yashoda in Vrindavan and the love of Vasudeva Devaki in Mathura. Although Nanda and Yashoda may be influenced by the feeling of separation to manifest that mood of humbleness and servitorship, but it is just that. It's a wave in the ocean of prema that rises and falls, and they never give up the mood of being Krishna's parents. Whereas when Devaki and Vasudeva were confronted by Krishna's opulence and fear of separation, fear of Kamsa's atrocities for Krishna, they gave it up. However, although they spoke like this, even in a state of ecstasy, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda would never give up their parental relationship with Krishna and speak like Vasudeva and Devaki, who, due to being overcome with an awareness of Krishna's opulences, Aishwarya Gyan, said, "Yuvanna na suto, you are not actually our son." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.85.18. So these are very high topics. I'm also not qualified to speak about them, but I thought it would be good in this very special portion of Srimad Bhagavatam to discuss them. Srila Prabhupada said that scripture without purport is useless. And so we're very indebted to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Rupa Goswami and all of our acharyas for giving us teachings and explanations that will enable us to understand more deeply the great treasures in the Vedic scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. His Holiness Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj used to say that Srila Prabhupada's books are like an ocean, and they are filled with precious jewels and gems. But in order to get those precious jewels and gems, one must go deep. So anyway, we're trying to appreciate the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, so we can try to follow in their footsteps. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So are there any questions or comments? Rasa Sundari. No one could be more qualified than Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. But in their mood of humility, they were thinking that Vasudeva and Devaki were more qualified, but they are not. Yeah, that was just their humble mood. Mishra Bhagavan.
In New York, we Srila Prabhupada told us that we have to love everyone, we have to love Krishna first. He used the example of the rock in the middle of the pond. Yeah.
Yes.
So those that are in renounced sort of life have a life that's always directed like full time for Krishna from morning to night. Most people are married, they have husbands, wives, they have children, they have friends at work, they have all kinds of relationships and so many crazy stuff. How do they have that love for intimate family members and include full attention to Krishna at the same time?
Well, the residents of Vrindavan had families. And they had their work. But the central point of attraction and attachment was Krishna. So we can follow in the same mood. There's a beautiful verse about the gopis of Vrindavan, that even while churning butter, even while winnowing grains, even while caring for their children, their throats were always choked and their eyes were always filled with tears, and they were always singing the glories of Krishna. It's a matter of attachment. Just like an ordinary person may be at work, but he's thinking of his family. His family is not with him in his workplace, but because of attachment, he's thinking of his family. So in the same way, if you're attached to Krishna, you can think of Krishna in your workplace. But that attachment develops by sadhana and seva. It doesn't just come by wishful thinking. You have to work hard. But that's the answer. Everything can be done, but we have to follow the proper method with all sincerity. Nothing is impractical. Ananda Leela. Yeah, as we progress, we become more pure, we become more aware of our offenses, and we see our offenses as major obstacles, and we want to
get rid of them. And that applies to every aspect of our existence, to every moment of our life. I mean, most of the offenses, the 10 offenses against the Holy Name, refer to mentalities that we may have even when we're not chanting. I mean, the offense of inattention, that's something that can refer specifically to the time when we're chanting. But the other ones refer to attitudes or mentalities that we have, whether we're chanting or not. So we want to work on improving our mentality or purifying our consciousness at every moment, in every aspect of our life. But, of course, there's preaching. Preaching is like a special activity that can very quickly get us recognition by Krishna, get us mercy from Gaur Nitai. So that's a special hope for us. Of course, that should also be done wholeheartedly, but yeah, this is this is our special good fortune. And that you know, that's another reason why Srila Prabhupada didn't give so much technical knowledge, because he had faith that if we just served Gaur Nitai, served the Panchatattva, that we could get everything. And yeah, when the time comes, if we have that taste or greed, you know, we can study more. But otherwise, we don't need all that detailed technical information, or at least not in the technical language. So that's really the best. And the motivation, when others are involved, is stronger when it's just us. Like Tamal Krishna Goswami wrote to one couple when they were about to have a child, that, you know, the presence of the child will sort of force them to come to a higher level, because they will have to set a proper example and create a proper atmosphere in the household. So, yeah, even if we're a little callous about our own progress or our own behavior for our own sake, but when someone else is involved, then we make a special effort. Say, I might be walking at White Rock Lake chanting japa. And depending on
you know, the time and circumstances and state of mind, I may be more or less focused. But then if I see someone is walking nearby, I think, oh, they'll be listening to my chanting. I better chant properly. So that's preaching. Preaching means that you do better because there are others involved. Your behavior will affect them. So you try to do better. And preaching also means cooperation. You can't preach alone. You know, what can you do alone? I mean, Srila Prabhupada began alone. He was Srila Prabhupada, but to really preach, you have to cooperate. That means you have to set aside your false ego, or at least subdue it. Otherwise, how can you cooperate? So preaching really achieves everything. And when you preach, someone may ask a question, you don't know the answer, you may sort of know the answer, but not to the extent that could satisfy the person. So then you have to, you ask some senior devotee, or you go to the scripture and you read more. So it really does work to bring us to a higher level. So that's really our only hope. Our only hope. And it's a very promising one. Yes, Nityananda Prabhu.
Talk about preaching. Preaching, just the experience that my personal experience, the most ecstatic part about preaching is dealing with the pain, the misery, and the difficulties of the persons you're reaching out to, because we see that it makes such a difference to their life, that there's somebody there for them, because that's one of the biggest reasons they have so many issues. They just don't feel affection. And so, in reaching out like that, over a period of time, what happens is that the body and the mind are not able to keep up, because one's body and mind suffer, you know, either the reactions or just the fact that you feel the misery, the pain of others. And at the same time, the ecstasy is so great that you want to continue doing what you're doing, just preaching, because you find that you feel great ecstasy in reaching out to other people, and yet the body and mind is not cooperating, they start breaking down. Is it callous to continue like that because the ecstasy is so great? Not maybe for the ecstasy mainly, but because of the fact that, you know, you're helping others by reaching out. And in your case, I can see that example very clearly. Being a good disciple and others, you have issues, but you, in a sense, look like a little callous to your body and mind and continuing doing that service. Is that great ecstasy of preaching? Is that your experience?
You know, you mentioned issues. I was reminded of Brahma Tirtha Prabhu and his wife Bhakti, who's a family counselor. And her motto is, "You got issues, we got tissues." You know, there's different stages of an individual's development that applies for everyone, the teacher and the student. And if you read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, you see in the beginning Srila Prabhupada spent so much time with each person who came. And he would do whatever he could to keep each soul who came to him
But then at a certain stage, as the number of devotees increased, there was one devotee who was becoming like a major disturbance to the others. And not that, you know, Prabhupada tried to get him to stay, but at a certain point when the devotee wanted to leave, Prabhupada just let him go. Because, you know, there's only so much he could do. But also because it was becoming a disturbance to the others, and he had to think of them. So, you know, the other night we mentioned Chanakya Pandit's maxim about raising children. In the beginning, you treat them like your parents. Whatever they tell you to do, you do. Then you treat them like your enemy and discipline them very strongly, and then you treat them like your friend.
At a certain stage, babysitting is necessary, but at a certain stage, babysitting might not be the best for the student. What to speak of taking time and energy that could be used for other services. And a parent, you know, has to be, you know, be sensitive to the needs of the child. Like, it's small children cry a lot, and a lot of the time they're just crying because some momentary frustration or disappointment, or they want attention or something. But then sometimes there's a real crisis, and when the child cries, then, you know, the parent recognizes this is just not, you know, he wants attention or he's frustrated because of some little mishap. So yeah, we should know when the student needs that intervention. It could be either way. It could be because they're faltering and they need to be picked up, or it could be because they've reached a state where they're ready to go further and they need like a little help to take the next step. And sometimes, again, there are many factors, but one is that the student's, you know, readiness, submission, surrender. And if they're, you know, it's like Srila Prabhupada said, first class person learns from hearing, second class person learns from seeing, third class person learns from experiencing, and fourth class never learns. So, if a disciple is ready to learn from hearing, then we can speak more. But sometimes they're not. They have to see it. And even then, sometimes they're not. They have to experience it. We're very fortunate to have a very nice couple in Southern California, initiated by His Holiness Parthasarathy Das Goswami Maharaj. And the lady is so devotional. and so attached to her guru and so surrendered to her instructions. And she told a story that when she was very new to Krishna consciousness, she developed an attachment to a young man, also a devotee. And her guru told her to forget it, to stay away from him. But she was so attached that she didn't follow her guru's order. And the way she described it, she went through the most hellish period of her life, to such an extent that she felt like she was falling into a bottomless pit. And then finally, although she was like so covered and so attached and so bewildered, finally she understood that the only solution is, you know, to follow Guru Maharaj's instruction, go back to Guru Maharaj and rectify my relationship with him and follow his instructions. Unfortunately, that happened. Well, you know, I guess it's always good whenever it happens, but in her case, it happened very early. So fortunately, in the sense now, all those years since then, that memory is permanently etched in her consciousness. She can never forget it. And so, no matter what it is, she always adheres very closely to her Guru Maharaj's instructions. So, she learned by experiencing. I mean, in a way you could say it would have been easier if she could have just heard, or at least seen other cases and learned. But she learned by experiencing. But that process of learning had a very profound effect on her. And now, because of that experience, she's ready to learn by hearing. She's already experienced the consequences of disobeying, and now she's ready to obey. And so she wants to hear. So, you know, in an immediate sense, we don't want someone to suffer, but sometimes, if they're not ready to learn by hearing or seeing the example of others, they may have to learn from experiencing, and that may, in the long run, be the best instructor for them at the particular time. So, and then there's the other example that Srila Prabhupada gave, that on a battlefield, you know, the medic will see, like, you know, who has a good chance of being saved and who's almost hopeless. So the medic will attend to the ones that have a good chance of being saved, and then if those are all taken care of, then he can go to the ones that look like they'll die anyway. So, yeah, there's a question of priorities, management, appropriateness, according to time, place, and circumstance. And and then there's the guru's service. What is the guru's service? It comes to the same thing, priorities and management, limitations.
in my case, I have that tendency from the beginning, and you know, but Prabhupada didn't approve of it. Like, he told me way back that to work very hard for Krishna for 2 days and then to have to recuperate for 3 days is not a very good policy. So sometimes I forget that, but and devotees are reminding me more. They all say it. That I have to take care of my health. They need me to stay longer. So, I had a very sort of humorous exchange with my chiropractor yesterday. I actually mentioned him when His Holiness Satchinanda Swami was here, and I asked a question. So, so I was lying on my back, and fortunately, I don't know where he got it, but he has the CD. Well, it's on his, I guess, iPod. Of B.B. Govinda Swami's Vrindavan Symphony. So he was playing that, you know, while I was on the table. And so I don't know, towards the end he had me lying on my back and I just had my eyes closed. I guess I was smiling, lying there. And then he came back to my table and he said, Swami, you look like you were in the highest loka. So then he said, what is the highest loka? I said, well, Krishna loka. Now it's also called Goloka. And then he said, what is go? It's cow. And so he was, are they both the highest loka? Or is it, no, they're the same place. Krishna has his cow, so it's sometimes called Krishna loka or go loka. And then he said, well, can you tell me about it? So I told him a few things. And he said, I'd like to go there. Oh, I said, well, you're getting closer. And I actually believe he is. Because when I was seeing him a few months ago, he did have some CDs. He had one of Krishna Prema's and Karnamrita's. Called Dasi. And even in these days when he would play this one, he wasn't singing along, but this time he was singing along. So that made me think he's getting closer. And also he's serving devotees, so that will please Krishna. So I said, you're getting closer. He said, really? That sounds good. Well, you said it. So, you know, it must be true. If you said it, it must mean that God is saying it, so I'm taking it that it's true. But he was partly joking. I mean, don't take it, like, too literally. And he said, I think I'm going to make a bumper sticker. I'd rather be in Goloka. So, all right. So anyway, he did what he had to do. Then he, you know, he went to the other patients. And in this system, it's not just that they leave you because they have to attend to other patients, but sometimes they do things that take some time.
for the body to get the benefit of it. So they in the meantime, they go to someone else. So he came back, my eyes were closed, smiling, probably even more. That Swami, come back. You can't stay in Goloka. We need you here. You have more to do for people. Come back. I said, oh no, do I have to? Yes, Swami, we need you. So I guess if we take these as true, and I think on a level it is true, so we do have to take care of our health. And, okay. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Then afterwards, he said that when he was growing up, his grandfather had a farm with cows. And as a small child, he was very attached to one of the calves. And he would always spend time with that calf and play with it and hug it. And so, oh, so yeah, maybe it's an indication. Hare Krishna.